Morning, church. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, if you will. Oh, let me tell you, they get better as the weeks come along. I will share just a little bit of, you will not want to miss the week after Christmas. I'll just say that right now. You will not want to miss that picture. That is, it's hilarious. Yeah, didn't we already take an offering during the video? Didn't he say as we collect our, well, guess what? We will do that. Yeah, it was supposed to be done during the video, but that's all right. We will make sure that we do that here after we go through the message. How's that sound? All right. Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that, Kim. All right. Everybody at Matthew chapter 1? No. Apparently, everyone's head went down. All right. Matthew chapter 1. All right, let's pray. God, we are grateful for your provision in our lives, even when we do not fully understand. Help us to follow through with the things that you have for us to do, even when it's awkward and even when it may not make much sense to us. Give us a sense of hope and joy in the midst of this season as we continue to anticipate and celebrate King Jesus. Amen. Now, have you ever done something that you really didn't want to do? Every day, I heard. Every waking up, yes. I mean, you think about it, right? Yeah, your job, yes. Some people, school, yeah. And yes, yeah, pretty much everything. And just about a year ago, I had to do something that I didn't want to do. So Kaden was in the shower, and she was taking a shower, of course. And Jen heard something downstairs in the basement. And she went downstairs, and all of a sudden, I hear this, like, Brian, get down here as soon as possible. So I run downstairs, and wouldn't you guess there was water shooting out of our sewer line? Yes, water, and maybe perhaps a little bit of other stuff, but I'll say 97% of it was water, okay? And anyways, I tell Kaden to stop what she was doing, and I start to work out trying to solve the problem, because that's what I do. I like solving problems, and I take this access port off, and I grab a snake, just about a 10-footer, and I'm feeding it down this access pipe that kind of goes outside. I mean, none of the toilets are clogged, nothing's clogged, but nothing's clogged about 10 feet down, so I'm thinking, I have no clue what's going to happen. It's got to be something outside of the house. So I got to go to Baumburger's. Which is a little kind of Ace Hardware store in Lititz, and I get one of these 50-foot electric snakes, right? And so I come back with that, and I put that snake all the way down the tube. It goes all the way outside. I do this three different times, right? Nothing. Doesn't clear it up at all. So at this point, I call the township, and I say, you know, there's a problem, and they were of no help, and obviously it's... out of our house, you might sense I have some animosity here. It's obviously outside of our house and probably off of our property, and they wanted nothing to do with it, and I'm kind of bitter at this moment. And they said, you guys need to call a plumber. So I called the plumber, who told us that because it's so far outside the house, it's a township issue. Yay! So I called the township back, and they said that there's an access port outside in my yard someplace, I don't know where, that has kind of a drainage tube and like an air vent tube, right? And they told me that I needed to go out there and try putting a plunger over top of one of the tubes and try and plunge out the stoppage that was there. Now, I forgot to say, a bunch of Jen's college volleyball team was coming to visit us that day, along with their about, I don't know, 800 kids, right? And so we have bathrooms that are stop up, we have showers that's not working well, and here's Brian outside with a plunger on the ground. Now, you can then imagine the people who are walking by and driving by at this moment wondering, what is Brian doing outside plunging his grass? Okay, and it's snowing, or it's raining at that point. It's just an absolute mess. It's about 15 feet deep, and there's no way I would plunge anything out of this thing. So I started thinking, well, I have this this auger, I have this thing. Why don't I just go in the house and bring it outside in the rain where it's electric? Because, well, you know, water and electricity work really well. And so I'm going to go ahead and do that. So I start feeding this auger down this pipe, and nothing works. And I'm like, this is not a good thing. But I kind of feel like it's stopped up against something. So I take it out the one hole, and I put it in the other one. And that one goes down. And wouldn't you know that you hear that sound that you love to hear, that glug, 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 glug. And you know what I'm talking about, right? That's when you know something's not clogged anymore. And I look down, and I see it all flowing and everything like that. I walk inside. I'm flushing toilets, turning on showers. Everything's working fine, and it's absolutely wonderful. Now, I go inside, make sure everything works. I knew that I had someplace to be that afternoon, and I know that Jen was heading off with all of her friends. And so I washed up this auger really quick. I brought it back to Bombergers, and I kind of left and got to church here the next day. And Janelle and Gary helped me out with this, what's it called, a sump pump, and so that I can pump out the water and stuff like that. Jen left for the week, and so here I was doing something that I just did not want to do. So I was on my hands and knees cleaning, I'm shop vacuuming, I'm mopping, I'm wiping up all this stuff. I mean, and after it was all said and done, I was pooped. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. See, you all got it a lot quicker than the early service. They're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's good. Yeah. The fact is it needed to be done, right? I mean, I couldn't have let it sit there in the basement. I mean, if I would have waited for, somebody like the township to come by and fix it, you know, it would have been days, right, without that kind of stuff. You know, I needed to get it taken care of now, not later, not something that needed to be waited upon. But we all have to do these things in our life, right? That these things in our life that we just have to do, that maybe we didn't even see coming, or those things that we just didn't expect to happen in our lives. And candidly, we just don't want to do them, right? I mean, but we have to because we needed to do it. I mean, I couldn't have let that stuff sit down there for months at a time, right? And so when I think about Joseph, I kind of think about this idea of doing something that you didn't want to do, but you had to do it because you were trying to be faithful to do it. I mean, there are a lot of things that I learned from Joseph, but one of this is this willingness to get the job done, even when he didn't expect it, even when he just probably didn't want to do anything about it. I mean, many of these things that he did changed his life forever. In Matthew 1, verse 18 through 25, I'm going to read to you all of the scriptures about Joseph today. Ready? This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now, if I were Joseph at that point, I would say, wait a second. So you're telling me she's pregnant and it's by the Holy Spirit? That's a little off. That's a little crazy. "She will give birth to a son," the angel continues, "and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save all the people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said to the prophet in saying, "A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary home to be his wife, but he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus. Now, the other scripture of Joseph comes in chapter 2. So flip the page to chapter 2, and it says this: "When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in the dream. 'Get up,' he said. 'Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child and kill him.' So he took the child, got the mother during the night, and left for Egypt, and there he stayed until the death of Herod. So it was fulfilled that the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I call my son.'" Finally, later in chapter 2, it says, "After Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream, and the angel told Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child, his mother, go back to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead.' So he got up, he took the child and his mother, went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. He went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. And that's about it. Wait a second. He was with Mary and Jesus when Simeon and Anna came and talked to him. And there was another time when they went back to the temple when Jesus was teaching out in front with all of the Pharisees, right? And so that's it. That's all we know about Joseph. I actually didn't like the way he was portrayed in the video, I'll be honest. Seems like all those videos, like the guy looks like he's an idiot. Well, maybe we are some of the time. Some of the time. But you know so much about Mary, and you know so much about Jesus, but there's very little about Joseph that we know. However, his story is very, very important to us. He's a man that God used to be Jesus' earthly father, right? And this is an awkward situation for Joseph in so many ways. I mean, he's a carpenter. His dad's name was Heli. And more than likely, he was the one who taught Joseph about carpentry. And Joseph was not wealthy. He didn't have a whole lot of money, but he was a faithful follower of Yahweh. He had a relationship with a young woman named Mary and was pledged to be married to her. And these first 4 years with Mary were crazy, absolutely nuts. His life was turned upside down. He was something that was just never anticipated. We know that Joseph probably was dead by the time Jesus' earthly ministry had gone on, because there's no mention of him at all in any of the Gospels. And so it's in terms of Jesus' ministry. So he was probably dead by that time. But see, Joseph was asked to marry someone who was pregnant, but not by him. Asked to be a father of a child that wasn't his, and a child that would change the world. He was asked to uproot his family, not once, but twice. I mean, he was spoken to by angels, approached by hundreds of people asking about Jesus. There was magi who gave gifts to him and learned about the killing of dozens of children because of the sin of Herod. But through it all, the scripture is clear that he worked hard to remain faithful, to obey God, and what he would have him do. Through all of these things that he had been through the most difficult times, he recognized something, that God is faithful. And that's probably something that he knew, right? I mean, probably, if you look at the history of the Hebrew people, he kind of knew that God was faithful. I mean, when God said he was going to flood the earth, he spoke to Noah and he instructed him to build an ark, right? God provided, right? And Noah was faithful. When they were slaves of Egypt long ago, I mean, he told Moses and called them out to free his people. I mean, God provided and Moses was faithful. When they were in the desert running from the Egyptians, wandering the desert, God gave them food and drink and kind of manna and water. I mean, God provided and the people were faithful. I mean, Isaac was going to sacrifice his son so that God would know his faithfulness, but God held his hand right before he was going to kill his son. God provided. Isaac was faithful. I mean, that's just the history of God's people, right? I mean, in the midst of uncertainty, God provides. God provides for Joseph, for his faith and his faithfulness. He provided for his family in so many ways. So this morning, let's look just of a couple ways in the short verses on how God provides. God has provided for their emotional and mental well-being. You know, I can imagine that when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he'd be ready to run. I mean, right? I mean, he was scared. He was terrified. I mean, he of what might happen to himself, much less what might happen to Mary. I mean, if he were to publicly leave and the people found out that Mary was pregnant and it wasn't with his child, well, then, guess what? She would have been stoned to death. Right? He needed to leave and thus save her as well. I mean, he was ready to go. He was terrified as what was going to happen next. Fear had gripped him. And I can imagine Joseph being very anxious and maybe even thinking of one of these proverbs that he had heard so long ago that says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And so I'm sure Joseph was waiting to hear a good word. I mean, something good has got to come from this, right? And so you know it was true. He was probably anxious and he needed this good word. But friends, God provides for everything. God will take care of you. And he did with Joseph. And probably at the moment where Joseph was ready to bail, I mean, he had on his backpack. He had on his sandals. He was probably getting ready to walk out the door, racked with fear and just anxiety. An angel of God came and spoke to him.
And the angel speaks into this fear and into this worry and into this anxiety that Joseph might have had. And he said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Do not be what? Afraid. And that's what the angel said to Joseph. I mean, how could he not be afraid for himself and for Mary and for this child? I mean, friends, God provides, though, in the midst of the struggles to understand, in the midst of his fear, and in the midst of his inability to comprehend what is going all around him, and in the midst of his worry and his doubt, God provides an answer. God sent his angel, and he said, "Do not be afraid." Now, I can imagine if any of us were being visited from an angel now, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid." My guess is that you won't be afraid. Because if God sends an angel and sees you and says, "Don't be afraid," my guess is we're like, okay, God's got this covered. Right? I can only imagine in Joseph's mind that he was at ease because he knew that God would never leave him. That God will never forsake him. But of course we struggle, right? I mean, we're all human. We still falter and we fail and we fall back, but knowing God provides for even me, right? Someone who struggles, that's amazing. That God provides for my mental, emotional well-being in the midst of my worries and my fears and my anxiety, I mean, that's amazing. And friends, I guess I want to ask you this morning, how can you learn from Joseph's story? I mean, are you experiencing stress and worry and fear about what may be coming? Are you needing to do something that you just really don't want to do, but you're called to do it nonetheless? I mean, God is here. God walks with you. God is encouraging you to walk in the midst of your stuff, and he says, "It's going to be okay. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry about it. God provides." Amen? Now see, God doesn't just provide a mental break for Joseph, supporting in time of struggle. God provides for physical well-being as well. Let me ask you a question. Has there been ever time that you have experienced God's provision in your life? Physically, a physical provision in your life. Let's keep with Joseph here. After God got him straight in the head, I mean, helping him overcome his fears that plagued him, the angel came, and the Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to register for the census, right, as they were told to participate in. And since Joseph was from the line of David, he needed to go to Bethlehem. Now, apparently, he didn't do a good job at making reservations ahead of time, because it was a last-minute kind of deal, right? They needed to get going there, and there's no place for them, and God did it. God provided a space. Mary was ready to give birth, and this innkeeper said that they could use this manger that was in the back. And many people had this idea that a manger is like this nice, you know, pitched roof, you know, place where all of the animals stay, and it's just like, you know, that really nice, warm feeling. Actually, the manger was a cave in the ground, right? And so they would bring in their sheep and their livestock so that they wouldn't get all trampled on or rained on or anything like that. They would bring them in this hole in the ground. And so Jesus, if you can imagine, wasn't in this nice little feeding trough in a manger. Like, he was in a feeding trough in a hole in the ground. But that was a cave. It was something that the Son of God could be born into. That it wasn't out in the cold. There's something there for him to be born into, physically taking care of it. God provided. When Jesus was about 2, they received a visit from the Magi. Yes, the Magi did not arrive on the night that Jesus was born. Sorry, I just ruined about 8 of your all's Christmases. Take it out of your manger scene, please. No, the Magi arrived about 2 years afterwards, and they were amazing people. They came saying that Jesus was the king, and he was going to be the king, and that Jesus was going to rule all, and they gave him gifts, strange gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and these gifts were extravagant, and I can bet that Mary and Joseph were just amazed at these gifts. They had zero money at all, and these gifts meant something. I mean, Pastor Rob, in just a few weeks, is going to share the significance of these gifts, but these gifts were absolutely amazing at this growing family. They had zero money, and they got these extravagant priceless gifts that were given to them. But that's not the most amazing part of the story on how God providing for them physically. You see, when the Magi left a few months after, Joseph received word that Herod was angry, that he was fearful that that he was going to kill all of the kids that were inside of Bethlehem. He was afraid that Jesus was going to take over his throne, and everybody under the age of 2 was going to be killed in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem's a small town, right? And so perhaps there might have been about 10 to 20 kids in that age group, and probably everybody knew who these kids were, right? I mean, they probably went and celebrated with them and brought them meals for the next few weeks and probably cared for one another during this time. I mean, their lives were in danger. Jesus was in danger, and I'm sure for a moment that he just didn't know what to do. And so they were in danger, and the angel of the Lord came and told them they needed to leave immediately for Egypt. And I know just how God provides for Mary and Joseph and Jesus, that when they arrived in Egypt, there was probably people waiting there, ready to receive them, ready to give them food and shelter and take care of them for however long they were going to be there. But they were probably ready for them, ready to receive them. About a year later, the angels shared that the family could go back, and because of Herod's son being in charge, they decided to move to Nazareth. Now, one thing is sure, that God provided for them physically over the first 3 years of Jesus' life. And while they could have been killed, they were led to safety. While they were poor, they were given just enough to make ends meet. While they needed a place to stay, one was provided for them. And I think many times we wonder if God is actually in the midst of our day-to-day needs. I wonder if we think that God isn't even worried about the little stuff, that God only is worrying about the big stuff, but God is there in the day-to-day needs that we have. Jesus says it himself, look at the birds of the air or the flowers of the field. I mean, they don't worry about what they will eat or what they'll wear. I mean, God is faithful, not only in just the big things in our life, but God is faithful for every single little thing in our life as well. And friends, while God provides for us mentally by calming our anxieties and fears, and God provides for us physically by caring for our needs, God also provides for us spiritually. Another part of the story has Joseph and Mary taking Jesus to Jerusalem in order to have him circumcised. What a great day that must have been. Well, at the temple, they made an offering to the Lord, and suddenly a man came. His name was Simeon, and he takes Jesus out of Mary's arms. Now, for those of you who are moms in this room, could you imagine just kind of walking down the street in Ephrata, and you're kind of walking around, and all of a sudden some strange dude comes and takes your child out of your arms? Probably not happening with Joseph. He was probably pretty wondering what's going on. But Simeon says the most amazing thing. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to hear this word. Go ahead, close them up. Listen to these words that he says. Imagine yourself being Mary. Imagine yourself being Joseph. And this guy coming up and swooping Jesus out of your arms and holding him close to himself and saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Amen. I mean, Anna, then, a woman who was at the temple for a while, gave thanks to God and spoke that Jesus would be the redemption of Jerusalem. These two people, along with the shepherds who witnessed Jesus' birth, the Magi who spoke about Jesus, all of these people led many to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. God provides. The scriptures are clear about the Messiah. Prophecies are abundant. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks. But the Messiah was born to be of a virgin. Check. I mean, the Messiah would spend time in Egypt. Check. I mean, the Messiah would, there would be a massacre of all the children in the Messiah's birthplace. Check. I mean, he would return to Nazareth. Check. I mean, this is Jesus. It all makes sense. I mean, the Spirit of God has been walking Mary and Joseph through this step by step by step, and Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. I mean, Joseph's life did not turn out like he had anticipated it, but what Joseph must have understood at some point is not just how the prophecies connect Jesus to be the Messiah, but that Jesus was the Messiah. The scriptures also say, the prophecies also say what was going to happen to him. And I think like any good father, I'm sure Joseph was afraid for his little boy. that he was called to help raise, that Jesus would need to endure those things, that Jesus would be rejected, that Jesus would be betrayed, that he would be hated, that even though he didn't do anything that would deserve it, that his hands and his feet would be pierced, and that he would be mocked, that he would be buried in a grave, and that someday he would rise from the dead. And I can imagine Joseph saying these words, "Who are we to deserve this? I mean, who am I? I mean, I don't deserve forgiveness for the things that I've done. I mean, it is God whose grace forgives me. I mean, I bring him offerings each and every year to be cleansed. But if Jesus is truly the Messiah, then he's going to die for me. I mean, this baby that I'm called to hold, this baby that I'm called to take care of, he's going to have to die for me. That this boy that I call my son will need to die for me, will need to die for you so that we may spend eternity with our Father in heaven. I mean, who are we to deserve this?" Brothers and sisters, we are people who are lost. We are people who are sinners. It's just who we are. However, through the Messiah, we will be forgiven. We will be made whole in God's eyes. Listen to these words from Isaiah. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer, he was silent, and so he did not open his mouth. And by oppression and judgment, he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death row. He had done no violence, nor any deceit was in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord who will crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Thanks be to God, he did it." This is who Jesus would be for us all. Where we are lost, Jesus finds us. Where we are fallen, Jesus lifts us up. Where we are forsaken, Jesus redeems us. Friends, God has provided us a way to him for all eternity through Jesus. He will bear our sins. He will intercede on our behalf with God so that we will be forgiven, not just for today, but for all time. God provides for us mentally and physically and spiritually, but we need to engage as well. We are not to be a people who just receive, but a people who follow obediently, just like Joseph did. God told him, "Take Mary as your wife." He did it. God told him, "Go to Egypt." Guess what? He did it. God said, "Hey, come on back from Egypt." Guess what? He did it. And so if you're here for the first time today, or maybe you're here because you've heard about Jesus and you know he's the Messiah, or if you're here to gaze upon his face, I do not want you to leave here without hearing these next words. You may have peace because God will provide you with peace. You may receive abundance because God will provide you with abundance. You may receive forgiveness because God will provide you with forgiveness. And we may receive these things, this peace and this abundance and forgiveness, because we need to do what needs to be done. Joseph was tossed into an impossible, awkward situation, and he teaches us so much. Friends, we can be like Joseph if we just obey our God, surrender to his will and direction, even when it doesn't seem to make sense to us. And we need to accept this gift, the Messiah. And if you do this thing, the life that is truly life, the glory of the Lord will shower upon you, and you will see eternity with him, and he will undergird you by providing for you all of the things that you need to accomplish his will on this earth. And God does all of this because of one thing: Jesus. This child that was sent, this child that would be the light of the world. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us accept him. Come, let us rejoice that God provides for everything. Most importantly, that God has provided a way for us to return to him forever. Amen. We're going to do our offering now, but I'd like to pray for us as we do that, so the ushers can be ready to do this. God, we just thank you so much for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity of gathering in your name. We know, Lord God, that we are broken people, but you have given us a Savior, and we no longer need to be broken. We can open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits to the profound knowledge of your Son, Jesus the Christ, that he is here. He is right here in this room with us as we walk together to the throne of grace. God, help us to remember that in you we are found to be white as snow because of what Jesus did. So God, we know that you provide for us mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and that God, in turn, we are just to surrender to you and be obedient just as Joseph was obedient. For Lord God, we share these things and we proclaim them in the name of the one who has given us life and hope and love and joy and peace, Jesus the Christ, and all God's people said, amen.